I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Later in the hour, we talk with comedian Daryl Hammond. As part of the Samaritans of Cape Cod's 40th anniversary, Hammond will perform in Barnstable later this week. In addition to performing some of the comedic impressions he became famous for on Saturday Night Live, he'll share his story of addiction, recovery, and his struggles with mental health issues. But first,
the Martha's Vineyard International Film Festival runs September 5th through the 10th, and joining us in studio to discuss some of the films featured is Richard Paradise, founder and executive director of the Martha's Vineyard Film Society. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you, Mindy. Fantastic.
Also joining us, Tim Miller, features editor at the Cape Cod Times. Good to see you as well, Tim.
Hey, Mindy.
All right, so Rich, you've been running this festival now for a number of years. When do you begin to search for the films to include, and what are some of the criteria that you set for inclusion?
Well, this is our 12th year, Mindy.
Is it 12 already?
Yeah,
wow.
I know.
Time flies.
We've been doing this for 12 years? Boy, we look younger. Well, I usually start looking at films, potential films for the festival, way back in January of the year. And usually I started off by going to the Sundance Film Festival every year in January, which has an amazing collection of world cinema, usually world premieres. And then usually I'll follow that up with a festival in February. I'll go to Berlin some years. The last 2 years I've been going to a festival in Cartagena, Colombia.
Wow.
It's the longest running Latin American film festival, and that's in March. And then Tribeca in April. So in the course of going to these film festivals, I'm collecting ideas for our own festival in September. I'm also looking at various festivals around the world via emails that I receive, websites, and also depend greatly on distributors to bring me excellent films. So I'm just collecting and putting this spreadsheet together. Yes, I still use a spreadsheet. And usually about, so I'd say May, June, I start to formulate, you know, sort of those 20 feature-length films that I'm going to present to our community on Martha's Vineyard in September.
Yeah. And usually I would think with all those film festivals that you're attending, you probably have a bigger group of films than you can actually show.
Exactly.
So you have to kind of whittle it down.
Yeah. Well, there's some films that will actually be released early summer, and I'll just wait on them. I'll sit on them, for instance, and just because I think they'll be better suited for our film festival. And then if they're well received, I'll bring them back in the autumn. And that's the great thing about these world cinema films, is that they're not going to get wide theatrical releases in the United States. You mentioned, what is my criteria? Well, first and foremost, I look for films that are culturally significant, because that's what the film festival is about. It's bringing films and stories from around the globe to Martha's Vineyard so we can share it with our mostly, you know, American audience. We do get some Europeans that show up on Martha's Vineyard. I think they get lost somehow in Boston and they make it down to the vineyard for the weekend. But for the most part, I'm presenting world cinema to an American audience, and I'm giving an opportunity to, you know, experience other cultures through the power of film.
Mm, yeah, and Tim, you and I have both gone to this festival numerous times, and I'm always impressed about these films you've never heard of before, and how powerful they are.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Richard, not to kiss his butt, but he's
luckily I'm 6 feet away.
But he's he does a great job of selecting these films. I went through the films and was trying to figure out, well, which ones would I really want to see, and that got me thinking about, you know, what goes into deciding what you know, and for example, the ones that I did see, I have seen one so far, The Trip to Spain, which I think is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. All three of the Trip movies,
right,
with Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan are just hilarious. And if you know, anybody who's in the mood to laugh, and you know, it's a subtle kind of humor, but that's a must-see film.
I would say these are two middle-aged British men eating very expensive dinners.
Yeah,
together.
They play variations of themselves,
right,
because they're both actors, but they're also impersonators. So you'll have dueling Michael Caines or the thing.
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore.
Mick
Anthony
Jagger.
Hopkins. They do Mick Jagger doing an impersonation of Michael Caine. It's like, and they do it. I mean, it's so funny. The best, I saw a clip of them talking about David Bowie and Bowie's death, and not exactly funny in itself, but it was so unbelievably funny. I mean, I actually was like choking. I was laughing so hard when I saw that. So, you know, that one is sort of the exception where I've seen it and I love it. And people should definitely go see it if they can. But some of the ones that stood out, it's sort of the usual thing. Like, is there an actor in there that I like watching? For example, Richard has Sonia Braga in Aquarius.
Yes.
Or Catherine Deneuve in
Midwife.
The Midwife. And she just keeps getting better.
I was just
going to
say, let's
age.
Stop right there. Catherine Deneuve, one of the most beautiful women on
right.
the planet.
Yeah.
But she's kind of getting up there in years. I didn't know she was still working.
She's working prolifically. She probably releases one or two films a year
Is that
these
right?
days.
Wow.
And she started when she was young, very young, though.
Yes.
So, you know, yeah, she is getting up there, but she's, you know, she's... How old would she be?
She's in her 70s.
Yeah,
I thought she was a little bit older than that.
She was very young when she started. So
that's because she's been around for a long time.
Since the early 60s.
And she's paired with the other iconic French actress, Catherine Frot.
Uh-huh.
And so they play off of each other because they're polar opposites in The Midwife. Just polar opposites.
Yeah.
And
isn't Deneuve like the mistress of the
late father of the right
of
and
the,
she's carefree free spirit you know, just off in so many different places, where is the other Catherine plays a very tight woven midwife. She's the midwife of the title of the movie,
right?
And they somehow come together again after many years. And it's sort of a character-driven, wonderful story to see these two actresses, great actresses, working opposite each other.
Yeah. You also mentioned Aquarius, which is a Brazilian film,
right? Brazilian, set in a neighborhood just outside of Rio. And Sonia Braga is just fabulous in this role. She's the center of the whole movie, and it deals with real estate, believe it or not. It deals with they're trying to evict her from an apartment building, a small boutique kind of apartment building on the coast, and they're trying to evict her. The new owners of this building want to tear it down, and they want to build a huge skyscraper-type condominium and make a lot of money. She's the remaining occupant. She will not leave the building. She will not take any kind of payoff or proposal. And so things get a little dark as they try to get her to leave this building. But all her memories, her whole adult life has been spent in this beautiful apartment overlooking the ocean. It's just a beautiful movie. And I think Sonia is now 63, 64, something like that. Yeah. So she plays her age in the movie. Still gorgeous. Don't want to give too much away, but it's just a beautifully told story.
Yeah. Okay. The description I have here is a critiques life in contemporary Brazil, ranging from issues of social class to the mistrust of government to ageism, nepotism, and corporate corruption. But it also is a story about what's important to us as individuals. So it covers a lot of ground.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. And I hope that this will resonate with our island Brazilian community. I hope that we will have, you know, our community come out for this. Obviously, Sonia Braga is got a big name, and she's been a star for 30 plus years. You know, who could forget her in Kiss of the Spider Woman? Mm. But that was such a long time ago. Yeah. But she's continued to work mostly in Brazil of late.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful film.
So what are some of the countries represented? How many countries do we have this year? Do you know?
Well, someone asked me that a couple of days ago, and I counted it. And I think we have about 16 different countries represented in the feature films. And then another 8 or 9 or so in our 3 short programs. We have 3 short film programs. We have our, of course, our juried international short program from, you know, over 300 entries. It was whittled down to 11. Tim's smiling because he's on our jury. Mm-hmm. So he gets to watch these 11 films. And I think there's about six countries in the 11 selections finalists. There's 6 countries represented. And then we also have a European shorts program. This is the best of the best from the past year of European shorts. All these films that we'll be showing have won 1 or more major festival awards in Europe.
So it sounds like you can't go wrong no matter what you choose.
Oh, I would like to think that. And yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think there's any weak links in this program. I mean, the program from Tuesday to Sunday is just very solid. It all depends on what you're interested in. Are you interested in a comedy, you know, like Lost in Paris? It's a silly comedy. It sort of reminds me of Tati or Chaplin, for that matter. Mm-hmm. It's a very physical pantomime kind of comedy, very silly.
Which Variety has called them the 2 funniest clowns working in cinema today.
Right, the 2 lead characters, yeah. Right. And so you have comedies, you have dramas, we have a couple documentaries. We've got this amazing documentary called Departure, which is about a Japanese Buddhist monk who deals primarily with desperate people who are suicidal. And he has an amazing gift of working with these individuals to hopefully get them to celebrate their lives. Even though they're in great despair and depression, he turns them around in many cases. Mm. But it takes a toll on him, as you can imagine. Oh. And it's an amazing story. I saw this film at Tribeca, and you know, the gentleman who plays the monk used to be a partier. He used to be into going to discos and dancing, and actually he still goes as a monk. You know, he changes his clothes, of course, but he goes and dances because it's a relief for him, to get him, you know, his stress relieved. But it's an amazing story, and it's very uplifting, even though he's dealing with people who are pretty much disenchanted with life. Mm. And
you have another Japanese film, After the Storm.
Oh, yes.
Which is called a classic Japanese family drama that crosses cultural lines.
Yes. Well, this is by Tim, I know you know this director. I mean, he is an amazing director. It's Hirokazu Koreeda. I think that's how you pronounce it. But he's done a number of films that I've screened at previous festivals. Nobody Knows, Afterlife, Like Father, Like Son, from a couple of years ago, Still Walking. He just is so effortless in his approach to family dramas. You know, in this case, it's dealing with a kind of a roguish divorced father who's trying to make amends for past sins with his wife, his ex-wife, and his, I think it's 12 or 13-year-old son. And the storm in question is a typhoon that hits Japan, and they are kind of encamped together while the storm is going on. And it's just a wonderful slice of life, you know, drama. It doesn't have a Hollywood ending. Like in most Hollywood movies, you know, the first act is all this messy lives and people, you know, having a messed up life. And then towards the end, it's sort of resolved. Well,
not here.
Koida doesn't go for the typical Hollywood ending, but just an amazing director. I always love screening any of his movies. Yeah. They're always so well done. I mean, he's a master, you know, but he does it so effortlessly. And every year he comes out with a new film that you sort of take it for granted that, you know, he's one of probably the best, you know, international directors working these days.
Yeah. You mentioned Tim's going to be one of the folks looking at those 11 shorts. You haven't seen them yet, though, right?
Not yet,
yeah.
No.
And you do that pretty much every year, don't
yeah.
you? Yeah. You enjoy the shorts?
I love it. For you know, you don't get that many opportunities to see shorts unless it's at film festivals. Although, I recently saw Ingrid Goes West at a movie theater, and it opened with a short, and I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great if if all movies sort of, and sometimes animated mm-hmm. films do this too, where they'll have a short preceding mm-hmm. the main feature. But, it's a rare opportunity. Yeah. And right. let's say, okay, if you're seeing eight movies in a row, let's say you don't like one of them. Well, wait a few minutes and you got another one.
Yeah, it's interesting because you outside of the film festivals, there really isn't much of a market for shorts. But you remember when we were kids, that was like they'd show some cartoons would see the film.
Of
so
course.
I wonder why not? Maybe that's a trend we should, asking for.
I mean, I know a reason why, but it's not relevant. But you're right. I mean, short films are celebrated at film festivals.
Yeah,
right.
And that's really the only place you usually get to see wonderful quality short films, other than, the occasional Pixar short
that precedes
a Pixar feature film.
Yeah.
So what would be some of the reasons, then, that filmmakers choose to create shorts over a feature-length film?
Calling card.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It's like, okay, you make a great short, then, and somebody sees that, they might recognize talent and say, okay, now we'll give you some support to make a feature film.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And sometimes you usually make shorts if you're going to film school. You'll do three or four shorts while you're in film school, and it prepares you for that leap to a feature-length film. But you're actually right, exactly right, Tim. It's a calling card. It's a resume builder, and you're hoping that someone will hire you mm-hmm. to direct, a feature-length film, or, it gives you the confidence to, go out and do that feature-length film yourself.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned kind of an eclectic group of short films that you
yes.
have, and these are all screening on Saturday night, right?
Correct. Yeah. Saturday night at the Keppelwalk Movie Theater. The jury will announce that evening the winning film, which will receive a cash prize of $1,000. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we always do is that last year's winner of the Short Film Festival now is on the jury for this year.
Oh, that's great.
So
yeah.
In addition to Tim, we have Diana Barrett, who's also been a jury member for a couple of years, and Toby, and I can't remember his last name right now, but he was the winning film last year, was The Balcony.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to be on the jury to select this year's winner. And we always play the winning film also on closing night, prior to our closing night film, which this year is an Italian film called Like Crazy. Not the Italian version of the title, but the English title, Like Crazy.
Mm-hmm. What's it about?
Well, it's a road picture. Don't we all love road pictures? It's sort of like a Thelma and Louise.
Mm.
It's two, women who are both dealing with sort of certain aspects of mental illness. They're both in sort of a psychiatric center, and they escape. And they go out on the road. They're in a convertible. That's why I said it's like Thelma and Louise. They're in a convertible. And, they kind of find each other. They need each other to help each other heal and to deal with reality. And so in their journey on the road, they come to form a very strong bond. I could say that it doesn't end like Thelma and Louise.
But you're not going to give us the ending.
No, I won't give the ending. But I could tell you they don't go off a cliff, which is good.
Good to know. Do you get input from the audience on what their favorites are?
Oh, yes. For the last 5 or 6 years after the film festival, I always bring back a lot of the festival films mm-hmm. for theatrical runs. And I base that primarily on what were the most talked about films during the festival, which are the ones that resonated the most with audiences. And then I bring them back 7, 8, or 9, sometimes.
Yeah. I know you have more venues now than you used to in the past.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, you see maybe a couple films that you want us, and they're up against at the same time.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's a good to know, because
yes.
the more popular ones, if you missed it in
yes.
the film festival, you may be able to catch it later.
Exactly.
On.
I don't like to say that ahead of time because
no.
I would like
to. We don't
right.
know which ones people are
right.
going to talk
right.
about.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And I don't want people to say, oh, he's going to bring that back, so I'm not going to go.
You're not
going to
bring
the
them
festival.
All back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I keep it. keep them guessing. That's how I usually do it, and it's so delightful to bring them back. And of course, there's a marketing aspect to that. I mean, they've gotten publicity during the festival, so when they appear again 3 weeks later, people usually remember, oh, people love mm-hmm. that, or my friend went to see that and they absolutely loved it. And we've had some festival movies that have played for 3 or 4 weeks mm-hmm. because they were so popular,
right.
You know.
And, you know, I want to say something about international film festivals. I don't think people should be afraid of subtitles.
No.
I have a husband who doesn't like subtitles. But when you're seeing it on a big screen like that, it's not like watching it on your TV at home. Seeing it on the big screen, you can read the subtitles.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So don't be afraid of that.
And I always tell people that they're missing about 90% of the world's output of film if they're not willing to go and see a subtitled film. And, you know, and that's sad,
yeah.
Because, you know, there are so many great films from around the world. And if you give it a chance, I think most cases
you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So, are any of these films appropriate for the younger set?
Well, not really. But this year, I mean, there might be a couple, and I'd have to go through. But there are definitely not a lot of R-rated films. They're mostly PG-13. But for the first time this year, on Sunday morning at 11 a.m., we're doing something unique. We're doing a concert by a Latin Grammy Award winner, Mr. G, who's well known in the Boston, greater Boston area. And he won a Latin Grammy because he's bilingual. Mm-hmm. He sings, you know, in both English and Spanish. And he won this for a children's album. So on Sunday, September 10th at 11 a.m., we're doing a children's concert with an international theme, you know, a Latin theme. So that is obviously focused on children. And their parents, of course. We hope that they'll come to the Film Center for that concert. Film-wise, since most of the films are in the evening, mm-hmm. And is school's back in
right,
session.
That's right. That's right. This week.
You know, we don't focus so much on films specifically for children.
Yeah.
You know, the animation films, the short program mm-hmm. of animated films, always programmed by Bill Plimpton, is always PG-rated.
Mm-hmm.
He always makes sure of that. So that could be appropriate for a 13 or 14,
right.
15-year-old.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any films meant
for really young. Yeah,
yeah, for
yeah.
really young.
Yeah.
But
right.
but we've got the other commercial theaters open, too,
sure.
while the
yeah.
festival's going on. So we're playing still. We have to still play the commercial films
right.
while the
right.
festival's going
Tim,
on.
Anything else you want to say that you're looking forward to in the festival before we wrap up?
Let's see. Well, Danny Glover is
the Citizens Award winner.
Yeah, I think that's. I was so impressed that you got him. He's. I'm a big fan of his work in like. I mean, they're now older movies, but like Grand Canyon and
yeah.
Places in the Heart, and I was just very impressed that. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about what that's all about.
Right. Well, we're giving the Global Citizens Award, which is our annual award to an individual or individuals in the film industry that have done something beyond just their film career. Mm-hmm. You know, what have they done for humanity? You know, what kind of humanitarian work have they done? Last year was Sharon Stone,
mm-hmm.
who came to the festival because she's done so much for AIDS research and other charitable causes. Danny has been very involved in Africa. He's a UNICEF ambassador, and the producing that he does now with his partner Jocelyn Barnes, who's a co-award winner, because we felt that
right.
since they do this together as partners,
they both deserve it.
They
yeah.
both deserve it, so they're both going to be visiting with us, and she's involved with a lot of charitable work also. So it's about celebrating their career, but also celebrating their humanitarian work. And it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, and we have a lot of other filmmakers coming too. A lot of the short filmmakers are going to be here visiting with us. We also have Miao Wang, which I think you were on board in 2010, 7 long years ago, but she brought a film called Beijing Taxi to the film festival. And so she's returning with her new documentary called Mainland, Maine as in the state, mainland, about parachute students.
Oh.
Parachute students, which is a term for students from other countries that are parachuted into the U.S. to go to sort of like boarding schools, high school, even in some cases grade school, but mostly high schools. They come here to, you know, improve their English.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she's taking it from the standpoint of Chinese students since she is Chinese.
Right. All right, the Martha's Vineyard International Film Festival runs September 5th through the 10th. We'll have a link to the film schedule at our website, capeandislands.org. Richard Paradise, founder and executive director of the Martha's Vineyard Film Society, and Tim Miller, features editor at the Cape Cod Times. Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thanks for
Thank you so much, Minnie and Tim. We'll see you very soon.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Coming up after a break, comedian Daryl Hammond and the work of the Samaritans of Cape Cod.